goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant.
That's my baby girl, if y'all didn't know. So, we've been talking about communion, and what we're trying to do with communion is we're trying to look at it where it doesn't become a mundane thing. It isn't something we just do every week, but it's something we partake in every week. One of the worst things that we can do as a people is fail to realize the significance of this time that we spend together. And I'm going to be honest with you. We do it way too fast. We spend too little time on it because it seems to be the thing in the middle of our service that we just have to do. And I think we create this idea that it's just a ritual. It's way more than a ritual. In fact, Paul, when he's talking to the church in Corinth, he starts the whole conversation about communion by saying, on this next subject, I have no praise for you. He goes in and he actually says that what they're doing is disrupting the church. Their meetings are doing more harm than good. This is how he approaches the subject. And so one of the things that he talks about that we talked about the first week is you need to realize you're part of a body. You don't come in here as individuals. You come in here as a family. You come in here that you belong to something bigger than yourself. The person sitting next to you, the person sitting across from you, the person who looks like you and the one who doesn't look like you, you need to consider, not just during communion, but especially during this time of communion. The word communion literally means to commune, to come together. It is a gathering. And so Paul goes on and on about the fact that some of them were getting drunk and some of them were getting full while others were thirsty and hungry. And he says, this ought not be. And then last week we talked about the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we partake of it, the bread. I brought you bread that we made at home. Y'all remember? Some of you are like, that was so awesome. And some of you are like, that thing just got bigger and bigger in my mouth. Yeah, so... Anyway, we talked about it, and there's something I want to tell you about that, but that will set the stage for today's message. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ that we talk about, you need to understand that the reason that we partake of both is because the body is what opened the door for us to have access to God. It is His blood that made us right with God so that we could enter. Are you with me on this? So, the body, extremely important. The blood, also extremely important. When we partake of these things, you need to realize something. Your destiny is completely and utterly dependent upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. Completely. You are completely dependent upon His finished work at the cross for you to have a relationship with the God who made you. Now, some of you, and if you're anything like me, having anyone else in control of your destiny is terrifying. Let me tell you what's more terrifying. You being in control of your own destiny. That's more terrifying when it comes to our relationship with God. And so today, I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning in verse 23. And he says, "For I received from the Lord, that I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, I promise you, we're going to talk about remembrance, and we're going to talk about proclaiming the Lord's death, but not today. Today, I just want to talk to you about this blood and about this covenant that he talks about. And so the first thing he says is, take and drink this cup, which is the new covenant in my blood. Will you go to the next slide, DJ? So, when he talks about the new covenant, we need to understand something. This isn't something we use. This isn't a word we use very often, the idea of covenant. How many of you know what a covenant is? A few of you know what a covenant is. Somebody just shout out, what's a covenant? A contract. It's an agreement between two parties. It is, when God talks about covenants, though, he deals with covenants a little different than we do. Those of you who are in real estate, there's at least one of you here, those of you who are in real estate, you sign contracts all the time, right? Do you require anybody to cut themselves for this to happen? Does there have to be blood come out for a... No, right? No, but with God... blood seems to play a major factor in his covenants. In fact, I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 8. Here's what the scripture says, and Hebrews does a really good job of helping you understand covenant if you want to go learn about it. But you need to remember way back when, long time ago, God made a covenant with his people Israel. Y'all remember that? Do y'all remember how the covenant was sealed? It was through the blood of bulls and goats that they had to sacrifice. In fact, if you go all the way back to before they were delivered from the land of Egypt, do you remember the last plague was the death of the firstborn? And so the angel of death was going to sweep through and was going to kill the firstborn of every household. Firstborn livestock, firstborn child, all of it. And the Israelites were to go kill an unblemished lamb. And they were to take the blood of that unblemished lamb and paint their doorpost and the header in blood. And when they would paint it in blood, the angel of death would pass over them. Blood has been a big player in God's plan from the beginning. But in Hebrews chapter 8, he says, in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant to which he is the mediator is superior to the old one. Since the new covenant established on better promises, for if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not... remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. Now stop real quick, because I want to tell you what he just said. He said, I'm introducing a new covenant and a new mediator to this covenant, and that covenant is a better covenant than the previous covenant. The previous covenant had flaws. What were its flaws? Did you catch it in the reading? Here were the flaws. The people. God was not the flaw in the previous covenant. And so he says it's built on better promises. It's a better covenant because the first covenant was flawed because you're flawed. Don't miss this. This is really important. He didn't bring in a new covenant because his first covenant, he didn't hold up his end of the bargain. He brought a new covenant because the first covenant, we didn't hold up our end of the bargain. Y'all with me? We broke the first covenant. Now, what happens in the business world when we break covenant? When we break a contract, there's penalties, right? There's all kinds of penalties when you break a contract. And the bigger the contract, the greater the penalty. Everybody agree with that? So however big the contract is, the penalty is greater. We're talking about life. How big is that contract? How big is that covenant? And so he says the first one wasn't good enough. Only because you weren't good enough. So I'm introducing a new covenant with a new mediator, and that mediator is Christ. He goes on to say, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least to the greatest. Did you catch that? What's the significant reality of this covenant? It's relationship. Do you see it? All of them will know me from the least to the greatest. This isn't going to be about a hierarchy anymore. There is a mediator between God and man, and that man is Jesus Christ. And he is the mediator of this covenant. You can't get to the Father except through the Son. But because of the Son, all can get to the Father. Isn't that beautiful? So he goes on to say, he says, they all know me, the least of, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, it has made the first obsolete, and it was obsolete, is outdated, and will disappear. Let me tell you how good that news is. There's a passage in Acts chapter 10 in which Acts chapter 15, I'm sorry, where the apostles and the leaders of the church get together and they're talking about the rules. And they're having this conversation, and Peter says something really interesting. Shall we put the noose, basically, or the harness, around the yoke on their neck that was too heavy for we ourselves to bear? And he's pointing out that if you are going to be justified, or if you are going to be saved by keeping the law, then you are required to keep it completely and perfectly. One failure is a breaking of the covenant. So he says, I'm bringing in a new covenant, and the old one is going away. Hebrews 10 says this, this is the covenant I will make them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart. I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with a full assurance of faith that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Do you realize the significance of what this new covenant is offering you? It's literally saying that without this covenant, you can't have access. In the Old Testament times, if you read and study about the temple, you'll understand that in the temple times, the temple was divided. There was the holy place. Well, there was the commons, then the holy place, and then the most holy place. The most holy place was supposed to be where the seat of God was. In other words, this is where God was. This is where you would go in and actually access God. Do you know who could go in there? Just the high priest. Do you know how often he could go in there? Once a year. Do you know what had to happen before he could go in there? There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice for him to enter. There had to be blood shed for him to enter every year. Every year, the blood of bulls and goats would be offered. And every year, in order for them to enter in, they would have to go through this process. And so this passage in Hebrews 10 tells us that's no longer necessary. This new covenant has been sealed by one act, not a continual act. And that one act is the shedding of the blood of Jesus. Go to the next slide, DJ. There it is. And then he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. I brought my notes for this one, sorry. When you think about the blood of Christ, do you know what kind of power is in that? Let me just give you a few. Because as you partake in just a moment of the blood of Jesus, I want you to think about this. It is the blood of Christ that brings us near to the Father, who could only be accessed once a year in the most holy place. It solidifies our covenant with God. It purifies us from all of our sins. It makes us holy. It gives us access to God. It gives victory over Satan. It cleanses us from our conscience, of our consciences. It pays our ransom, and it justifies us. This list I just gave you, if only one of them were true, it would be a marvelous gift. But I want you to listen to it again, because I want you, as you partake in just a moment, I want you to think about these things. Because of the blood of Jesus, we have been cleansed. We are made whiter than snow. I'm going to challenge you here, because how many of you know that you're flawed? Just a few of you, huh? Hang on a little bit. I'll help you find your flaws. Right? We're all flawed individuals. Some of us can't even say that in the time we've been in this building that we've been able to be free of flaw. Amen? Like, we struggle. And here's the cool thing. When God sees us because of the blood that was shed by Christ Jesus, He doesn't see you in your flaw. He sees you covered by the blood of Jesus. So He sees the righteousness of Christ alive in you because of the work Christ did on the cross. That's what happens. And so those of you who struggle with assurance, in fact, I read this in that passage I just read in Hebrews 10, that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, with full assurance that faith brings. Do you know what He's saying there? He's saying you don't have to doubt where you stand with God as long as you've accepted the finished work of Christ, as long as you've been covered in the blood of Christ, because it isn't about you. I often ask my kids this because you usually catch them on this one, but when you stand before God one day and you're ready to give an account for all of the things you've ever done, if He asks you this question, why should I let you in to my throne, to heaven? What is your answer? Usually kids will answer, well, you know, I served the poor. I obeyed my mom and dad. I did the things I was supposed to do. I dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's. I did everything that I should do. And if you really need a reason, I'm not near as bad as that guy. Because that's really where we end up, right? If we're honest, there's the old saying about the guy walking through the woods and he always took somebody with him, and he was like, why? And he said, because I'm scared of bears. And he says, so two of you can defend off the bear? He's like, no, but when I'm with this other guy, I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun him. That's kind of how we look at our faith journey, and it's not accurate. What God is doing through the blood of Jesus Christ is He is ushering in this new kingdom where we have a relationship with God made possible because God has cleansed all of us of our unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't get the Father without the Son. You can't have it. You can't have access, and you can't have freedom. We pass this tray every week, and it goes down the aisle, and we grab one of these little cups. And I don't know what your ritual is, but we all probably have one. When I was a kid, I would read Scripture during this time. And usually I would read something like 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, or Isaiah 53 is a really good thing to read to really focus. And then this cup would pass, and we would grab it and we would drink it, and then we solemnly bow our heads and think about all the wrongs that we've wronged and all the things that we've done. We take this passage, examine ourselves, or we do it kind of in memoriam of Jesus. And so I told you I'm going to preach on those two things later, but today I want you to have just a little glimpse on what Paul is saying, what Jesus was saying when He says, do this in remembrance of Me. He's not saying, go back in time and remember all that I did while I was walking the earth. Although that could be. I mean, you can do that. He's not really saying, go back and remember the nails that were driven into my hands, into my feet, or the crown of thorns that was beat onto my head. You can remember that, but that's not really what He's saying. What He's saying when He says, do this in remembrance of Me, is He's saying, don't forget who I am. Don't forget what we've accomplished for you. Don't forget, this is similar to whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Like, give Him heed, consider His desire in remembrance. I remember when I was a kid, when we played football, we would arrive back on the bus from an away game, and the coach, before he would let us off the bus, he would tell us this. He says, remember who you are, remember what team you're on, and remember how we expect you to act. That was his big thing. Now, was he saying that I need to think back on what it means to be a pirate? Not really. What he was saying is there's a certain way that I expect life to unfold because you represent something bigger than yourself. That's kind of what Jesus is saying. Look back on all that. Don't act like you're still lost in your sin because you're not. Remember me. Remember what I've done. Remember what I've accomplished. Don't act like you have no hope for the future because you do. Remember me. Remember what I've accomplished. Don't act like you have no assurance of your faith because you do. Remember me. Remember what I've accomplished. It's okay to remember the cross. But it's not the point he's trying to make. He's trying to say, remember all that I've said, all the promises I've made. Remember the covenant that God made through my blood. Remember me. And so in just a moment, I'm going to have you do something. I've kind of tried to get you out of your comfort zone if you haven't noticed. Last week I made you eat growing bread. I was going to actually do, this week, I planned to do chalices, and we were going to have both offered wine, which is more accurate, and the grape juice. But I decided that what that ends up doing is we end up focusing on what this is instead of what that is. This is about the blood of Jesus and remembering what he has done, remembering the covenant that he sealed with promise of his own life. And so I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone again. But what we're going to do is we're going to take communion as rows. So if you're in a row by yourself, don't do it by yourself. Go with the next row. We're sparse today for some reason. Last week, this would have been chaotic. This week, we can do it. But there's a couple of things that we want to do during this time. One is, when you get there with your row, somebody will be there ready to pray for you and with you. And if you need prayer for anything, this is a really good time because there's no better time to offer up your prayer to God than under the umbrella of the recognition of all that Christ has done for us. You see, our prayers don't seem so impossible when we see what God accomplished through Jesus. And so if you need prayer for anything, Luce will be over here, Mark will be over here, and Danny will be in the back. So there are three places we can do this. We're going to do this orderly, so you don't have to worry. We're going to do this one row at a time. When the row gets back to their seat, the next row go. I think y'all can pull this off. I have faith in you. So I've been told 2 weeks in a row that my instructions were poor or your listening was. The person telling me, I think, was thinking it was my instruction. I'm going with it was your listening. So, only because, you know. So while Rick and Andrew are going to come up and they're going to lead us in worship while we do this. Larry's going to turn it down so it's just there. You can hear it. You can be a part of it.